From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Kim Janda is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about a novel strategy to fight obesity.
Dr. Kim Janda is Eli R. Calloway, Jr., Professor of Chemistry at the Scripps Research Institute. He is also a member of the Skaggs Institute for Chemical Biology, as well as Director of the Wurm Institute of Research and Medicine. His group's main focus is on the merging of chemistry and biology across a wide range of research applications. Dr. Janda, you published a study on October 27th in an online early edition of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that detailed a new approach for dealing with obesity. Please describe your strategy.
Our strategy is to try to take advantage of the immune system and basically redirect it against particular entities that could impact feeding behavior and ultimately obesity.
What were you able to demonstrate in your experiment in mice?
Basically, what we were able to show is that we were able to create what's known as a catalytic antibody. So it's a antibody, but it has additional functions that acts as a catalyst, and we can direct this at this hormone known as ghrelin, which is involved in feeding behavior. And the antibodies that we're able to produce were able to impact the feeding behavior, as we saw in some animal models.
To pick up on this ghrelin hormone, why did you target the gastric hormone ghrelin initially, and what actually happened as a result of your experiment to that hormone?
We target ghrelin because there's been a number of publications that suggest that ghrelin's involved in feeding behavior, in particular in metabolic functions, and so we thought this would be a good avenue to look at. Furthermore, ghrelin's the only peptidic hormone that's post-translationally modified with this ester on it, and the ester's known to be critical in its function, and so we thought that if we could have an antibody that acted enzyme-like that could basically degrade ghrelin, that we could have basically a tailored protein that could redirect feeding behavior.
So as a result of using this catalytic antibody on this hormone ghrelin, what did you actually observe in the mice?
What we actually observed was a loss in weight, and we contributed this to basically a metabolic change in their overall function. We also found less intake in the amount of food that they were eating. Again, this is, again, related to ghrelin.
Okay, let's look at people now. How severe a problem is obesity worldwide and in the United States as well?
Well, obesity is going to overtake smoking. It's probably the number one health problem, not in the U.S., but worldwide. And I think, you know, we as a population need to really be concerned with this, because not only does it impact our general appearance, which a lot of people worry about, but it impacts a number of different medical functions. So I think the overall picture is that we need to try to get a handle on this overall obesity epidemic that's really taken over our nation.
You call your approach passive immunopharmacotherapy. Why is this such a potentially promising method for treating obesity in humans?
Because what we can do is we can tailor these molecules to kind of meet the particular needs that we want to target. So that's why we can call it passive versus an active vaccine, which you would continually vaccinate someone. So the passive vaccine would be a one-time injection of this catalytic antibody, and you know, depending on how we tailored it, we could have a certain lifetime on board within an individual, and it could be reused several times over.
Your study noted that immunotherapeutic approaches against ghrelin may hold certain advantages over small molecule antagonist treatments. Why so?
Because, you know, we're not really impacting feeding behavior with another molecule. What we're doing is we're saying is that over the years of evolution, that some of our hormones that can impact feeding have kind of gotten out of whack, as you maybe think of, like a balance that's maybe being tipped in the wrong direction. So what we're doing is we're just going to try to remove this molecule, take it out of play, and try to bring the balance back into a homeostasis where we can get back to a more normal behavior.
Now, what needs to be done before this anti-obesity strategy you've developed can be actually tested in humans?
So the antibodies that we've developed are actually of murine origin. So what we'd have to do is we'd have to humanize these or go back and get a human antibody. But beyond that, we'd probably want to do some more animal studies, probably look at obese animals. And if things look promising there, we could probably then move forward into what's known as a GMP-type situation and then clinical trials.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.